Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name, and Lord, we just want to seek you this morning. We want to listen to you as you speak to us, and we want to unite our hearts in prayer to you, Lord. And so lead us now in Jesus' name. Let's begin with a hymn, Guide Me Thou, O Great Jehovah, 128. Guide me now, O great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want more. Till I want no more. Well, we're going to be talking about the Lord guiding us, about pilgriming through the barren land. We're going to be talking about Canaan. We're going to be talking about praising the Lord. And so we're going to continue to look for a few more times through the eight dialogues of the Lord with Abraham. And today we're going to look at the third one, if you'll turn to chapter 13 in the book of Genesis. Now, Abram has just had a lapse of faith. When the famine came, God told him not to go to Egypt, but he did anyway, and he got in trouble down there. You remember he told that half lie. Well, a lie is a lie, but he told a lie about Sarai being his sister. She was a half-sister, but she was not his sister, to save his own skin. But then, you know, he turned back to the Lord, and the Lord prospered him, and now we see him coming back into the land, he and Lot. And they have been prospered, and they have great possessions, we see. We see in verse 6, the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and between the herdsmen of Lot. Also, we see there's enemies in the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelling there. Very interesting, isn't it? We see Lot, always a follower here. He goes with Abraham. He goes with Abraham. And, you know, there's a lot of Christians, I think, that way that walk through their spiritual life. They do pretty well as long as things are going reasonably well and they can lean on a friend. They can lean on a strong church. They can lean on good radio Bible teaching. They can lean on going to conferences and going to seminars. And not that all of these things are not good in a sense, but if that's what you're leaning on, you're not leaning really quite on the right thing. We need to be leaning alone on the Lord, don't we? And we see here, we're going to see a story between these two fellows. One has a much stronger faith than the other. We see that the Bible calls Lot righteous, so it's not that he's an outright unbeliever. He's not a sinner. He was taken out of Sodom before Sodom was destroyed. But we see him making a tragic mistake here. Now, they were getting along pretty well, but now prosperity has happened. And how many of you, maybe none of you, I don't know, but a lot of people do pretty well as long as they're kind of in need and want and have to rely on the Lord for their daily bread. But when prosperity sets in, sometimes bad things happen. And here we see prosperity setting in to the point of where they can't remain together anymore. And now there's strife. Now notice what happens. Lot doesn't say anything. He probably would have just continued to let the strife go on. Possibly, I don't know. But we see Abraham here taking the lead. Abraham, the acknowledged leader. Abraham, the spiritual senior here. We see him taking the lead. In what does he take the lead in? Basically giving up his choice. How often do we do that? How often do we give up our choice? Particularly the choice of prosperity. Abraham says, is not the whole land before you? Separate from me. Notice this choice he gives him. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left. So Lot, the choice is yours. So now we do not see Lot building an altar. We do not see Lot praying to the Lord for guidance. But we see him looking. Verse 10, he lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere. Amazing, isn't it, how we make our choices. Now, it can be real harsh on Lot in a sense. Now, he's just gone through a famine, right? They've been down to Egypt. Now they're coming back. And here he looks down, and that Jordan Valley must have been absolutely beautiful to see. And he's a farmer with his, well, he's a livestock raiser guy, whatever you call it. And so his wealth is in his livestock, right? Wow, I can expand my business. Look at that down there. Isn't that the place where I want to be? But he didn't consider the danger that was lurking there right beneath the surface. Often I think prosperity does hide moral decay. We certainly have that in the world today, and in parts of the world anyway. We certainly have it in this country, don't we? And so rather than seek the Lord, he chooses for himself what he thinks will be profitable. Profitable in an earthly standpoint. Now remember, we continually hear Abraham, a man of tents and altars, tents and altars, tents and altars. Tents means what? Tents and altars meaning that tents, he's always on the move, right? He's not settling down. He's not holding on to a structure to build a big house or whatever. Also, an altar means he's always cleansing himself through sacrifice, and he's always worshiping the Lord. Now, Lot saw all this. Lot was with him through all this. Lot was prospered greatly. But here he makes this decision. And we read in verse 11, Lot chose for himself all the plain. Chose for himself. Note those words. Those are significant. Chose for himself. Is your choice for yourself, or is your choice for God? Are you seeking him? Are you seeking the things that he has provided or things that you might acquire for yourself? Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and he journeyed east, and they separated from each other. What a tragic thing, you know, in a sense, to separate in the wrong way. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom, and that can also be translated toward Sodom, meaning that every time he moved, now he's in a tent, right? Every time he moves, he's going to be moving toward Sodom, toward Sodom, toward Sodom, toward Sodom. We'll read a little later, he finally is in the city of Sodom. And he even becomes one of the leaders in Sodom. He's sitting in the gate as a judge in Sodom, right? And that's where he is when the judgment is poured out on Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. He obviously didn't seek the Lord, or he would have had some spiritual insight into that, even if he couldn't see it. Now what happens to... So we see a tragic decision there, don't we? And how many decisions have you made? How many have I made where we choose what looks good on the surface? We choose what we think will benefit us. We'll choose what we think will make our lives easier. It'll make us more prosperous. We can increase the revenue in this machine we've got here or whatever. Rather than, is this business our work to glorify God and to further his kingdom? Or is it to make money? In case of Lot here, it primarily seems to me like it was to make money. He didn't care about working for the Lord or using his gifts for the Lord. Where Abram is always looking to the Lord, isn't he? Well, what was the result for Abram? He has given away his choice. He's given his choice to Lot, first choice. He takes what's left. But what does the Lord say to him? Lift your eyes now, in verse 14, and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants. Now, in chapter 12, the land was promised to Abram's descendants, as numerous as the dust, as numerous as stars in the sky, and so forth. And then in the second dialogue we had last week, he again promised the land to Abram's descendants. But here he's promising it to him. Everything you see to the east, everything you see to the south, everything you see to the north, everything you see to the west, it's all yours. And again, he reaffirms, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and width. I love that. I think that kind of reminds me, land, so to speak, in the scriptures often, I think, is a type of spiritual blessing. And, you know, in Paul's great prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, it said what? That we, with all the believers, may what? Know the width and length and depth of height of his love. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So that is this width and length, and so to speak, that comes to mind here as I see this. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width. Again, I can see a spiritual connection there as we, with his spirit, start to see a better comprehension of the length and the width and the depth and the height of his love and what he has for us. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre. We remember last week we talked about Mamre means instruction. So he is in effect going to the place, settling down here a little bit anyway in this tent near instruction. Isn't that where we want to dwell? Don't we want to dwell next to instruction, next to the Word of God, having it dwell in us and becoming one of us? And built an altar there to the Lord. Always building altars. Always building altars. Isn't that glorious? So my question to you before we go to prayer, who is making your choices? You are the Lord. And are you choosing for him or are you choosing for yourself? Do you want to pitch your tent towards Sodom and end up losing everything? He even lost his family, didn't he? Lot did. Mm-hmm. Abraham, on the other hand, let God choose. Is that not our faith in our Christian walk? Letting everything be in the hands of the Lord because he knows what's best? Are you doing that? Am I doing that? More than before, but maybe not all the time in my case. But we want to make no decisions without prayer. We want to make no decisions without considering, is this of the Lord or is this of me? Is this what I want or is this what he wants? And remember the prayer in the garden. It was okay for Jesus to cry out to the Father, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. That was his desire, right? But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless. Not my will, but your will be done. In James, we often say, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. We should add seriously after that, if the Lord wills, right? I'm going to do this, if the Lord wills. So may we choose him for him, and may we let him lead us and guide us. Guide us now, great Jehovah. Father, we thank you for the lessons in your word wherever we are. And this morning, here we are once again to lift up our voices in one accord, in petition, in supplication, in praise and thanksgiving. What an honor that we know the veil has been rent, the way is open. And you've exhorted us to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So we come now, Lord, in your great faithfulness, praying as one, because we're all responding in prayer to your Spirit as you lead. Lead us now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.